So today we're looking at Jonah, chapter 2. Pastor is not feeling good and he's not here today, but we'll see how we can make out today. We talked a short time ago about Jonah and how he was commanded to go and obey God and to preach to Nineveh. But instead of going to Nineveh, he ran the other way. He ran for many miles. He ran onto a ship and went down into a hole and fell asleep down there. Then, as we talked about last time, the ship got into a big storm. The unsaved sailors they risked their lives to keep him going. And finally found out that he was a problem, and the only way to save their own lives was to throw Jonah overboard. But they did risk their lives and did everything else, plus they recognized God, you know. These are Gentile people. He's an Israelite running from God. What a strange world we live in, isn't it? How many people go the opposite way, which we ourselves do many times. So chapter 1 of Jonah, verse 17, it said, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." Imagine what he is thinking. He said, "Throw me overboard," and they throw him overboard, and he thinks he's down on the ground. He thinks his life is over. And then suddenly he looks, and there's a big fish just grabs him up and swallows him down. And so he thinks, "I'm really going to die now, right? This is over with. I'm done. Thankfully, I don't have to go do the Ninevites anymore." Then after 3 days of rolling around in the belly, ups and downs, waves and floods, he finally thinks to himself, "He's not going to let me die. I'm going to do something different here, right?" Come to a realization that you can't run from God, and God's not going to kill him just because he wants him to get out of it. So finally, Jonah settles down in his mind or thoughts. I don't think he was praying outward. I think he was praying through his mind, because he opened his mouth, he might get some salt water in there. You know, it's in the fish, right? So in chapter 2, verse 1, it said, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God." But we go back to verse 9, it said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." He finally realized, he prayed unto the Lord his God, that even though he forsook God and ran from him, it was still his God that he was running from, and it is his God still, no matter what he did. Which is why we say, once you're saved, accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You can run from him and deny him, but you stay part of family. You might get to heaven by, as we always used to say, by the skin of your teeth. Of course, there's no skin in your teeth, but very, very, very gently get into heaven. Because God does not forsake you. We're the ones that run away. And said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice." Man, I don't know. 3 days of rolling around in the belly of a whale. People say, "Well, I can't pray here and I can't pray there." Well, Jonah can pray in the belly of the whale, sliding up down those slippery stomach slides. And I think we can pray where we're at, where we're sliding down the road in an icy road, which I've done before. Or anywhere we're at, in the basement, and Paul's in prison. And can't use that excuse, guys. God will hear us anywheres when we come to him or back to him. Verse 3, "For thou hast cast me into the deep." So yeah, even though it was the sailors that threw him overboard, it was by God's hands that we did that. It was their commandment. "In the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all my billows and thy waves passed over me." Imagine how rough those waves were, you're out in the middle of the ocean and suddenly you're thrown overboard. I know swimming sometimes those waves come in, but not in the ocean. Those really go over top of ships, let alone over top of you in the water. "Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again towards thy holy temple." Yeah, I don't think you can see much in the belly of a whale. I don't think there's much light down in there. You can't see the sky, you can't see land. On a ship, you at least could see that. But it says here, I shall look again towards thy holy temple. I don't know if that means heavens or if that means the temple in Jerusalem. People say both ways, but we take it God's word as it says that we don't interpret more than what we can understand. The waters compassed me a boat, even to a soul. The depth closed around a boat. The weeds were wrapped around my head. You ever had some seaweed on your head? Slimy seaweed? Yeah, no. People would harvest that now. They eat it. They do good. So yeah, when the fish hauled up when the whale or giant fish swallowed up other fish, then the seaweed would come in with it too. I couldn't imagine being 3 days and 3 nights and finally saying, God, I need you. How far does he have to push us sometimes to turn back to him? Amen. We have many people not in church because after COVID. And God says, you know, gather together, you know, as under me. And they miss so much. Yeah, you get to look at my ugly face or whatever, but that's part of life. But I mean, coming out and saying, I can't go to church anymore. I can't do this anymore. I can't do that. God requires us to. He asks us to. And yes, we're all human. We all make mistakes. Jonah here's a prophet. He's running from God. How much worse can we be? We see Paul. People died under his hands. It seems like people go to church and they miss a day, then they miss another day, then they miss another day, and suddenly the habit's gone, quote habit. But it's not supposed to be a habit. It's supposed to be a time to come out, to fellowship together, to read God's word, and share together, like we do around the table. That's a wonderful time too, but just to come out and hear his word. Here Jonah is running from God. He fights his own, dies, and thrown in the ocean. When a big fish comes and swallows him up. And then he rolls around the belly. It takes 3 days of rolling around that belly before he thoughts to him. He didn't do it the first day. He didn't do it the second. It said the third day. Of course, that could be symbolizing too of the Lord Jesus, right? I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. How do you know that? There was not people diving to the bottom of the mountains back in those days, right? Doesn't the Bible provide its own truth? It says the paths of the sea, don't we find ships that follow the paths across the sea to go faster? Don't we see planes follow air trails to go faster? And is there not mountains underneath the sea and stuff? So it's interesting that the Bible even puts that in there, mountains. To the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars would boat me forever. I was locked underneath the sea. I was locked inside the whale. Yet thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God. What a recognition. Our Savior, our Lord and Master, our Heavenly Father, many names. When my soul fainted within me, when I finally, 3 days of this, he's not going to let me die. 3 days of rolling around. I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. The Lord is in heaven, in the holy temple. And our prayers go to him. Undeserved. We have kings that would not even recognize you, but God recognizes us who deserve nothing. We don't deserve anything. That they may observe lying vanities, forsake their own mercy. How many people chase after idols? How many people chase after guys, after ladies? We strive after money. what is it that we could strive afterwards instead of striving after God when in our life? God's mercy is there for the offering. Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But in this world, our eyes get taken off of God so many times because he's right in front of us. But God's right there for us, ready to help us out. As footsteps in the sand, right? I saw two sets of footprints, and suddenly there's one. Why did you leave me? Well, I didn't leave you. I picked you up and carried you. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I'll pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Yes, Lord, I've gone this far. Now I will turn back and obey you. I'll follow you. I'll do what you ask of me. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not worshiping idols. It's not all these are religions. It's only of the Lord. Here it is in the Old Testament still. Wow. We think we can never repent or say what we've done wrong when Jonah ran from God, which is beyond, which we all do at some point in life, do we not? You feel something in your mind, God telling you to do something, we don't do it sometimes. We see people called to be mission field and they don't make it. They turn around and come back. And worse things happen to them here at home than it would have on the mission field. If God wants you in the mission field, he'll protect you and allow it to happen what he wants to. You reject and come back, then no promises there. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Aren't you glad he wasn't thrown back in the water? Imagine being 3 days in the belly. I wouldn't have any strength to move my fingers, let alone to swim up to dry land, but he was thrown out into dry land. And can you just imagine what he looked like? Yeah. I mentioned it last time. I had to ask Eric, but I can't remember. Monkfish, I guess. A monkfish will take a swallow of a whole haddock. And when you pull the haddock out, what's left of it is all white. It's not like white like a haddock. It's bleached, and there's probably some of it dissolved because it's inside a monkfish all that time. So just imagine what the acids did inside that belly and stomachs. So then I did look around in places about Nineveh. No guarantee of fact. I'm just saying this is a possibility. They said that one of our idols was a figure of a man, of a standing man with a fish head. I don't know for sure. There's been many other idols mentioned too. So if he shrieked of fish and people had seen him thrown on the land and he was whitish from the bleach, then this strange fellow came into your dooryard, what would you be saying to him? Whatever you say, right? Not sure. But anyway, because let's go to it. 3 verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Okay, you refuse me. You still don't like what I told you. But you have repented and want to do it, to obey what you vowed to do. It says, verse 2, arise, go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. What's so important about 40? Hey, so what's so important about 40 days? I mean, what happened in 40 days? Or 40 years or 40 this? 40 years in the wilderness, right? 40 days was the Lord led into temptation. 40 days, did it rain or more? But anyway, but usually 40 is a test. 40 days is a test. So in 40 days, they would be tested or destroyed or overthrown. We're in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4. And as Noah fought, and Jonah fought, As Jonah fought, so verse 5, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and in ashes. He caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let him not feed nor drink water, but let the man and beast be covered with a sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let him turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from evil way, and repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did not. God changed his previous intended course of action from allowing them to be destroyed or taken over to allow them to have a grace period. You think of Nineveh, it's a Gentile nation. Can you blame Jonah? He wants to preach to his own people, Israelites. They're the ones that are God's people. Yet I'm told to go tell Jonah, tell Nineveh, who is Gentile, to repent. Aren't we under grace today? Isn't the nation of Israel still important? But aren't we as Gentiles, as Nineveh, under grace today? And today, our prophet was not Jonah. Today, our prophet was the Lord Jesus, is it not? You know, there's one thing. Let's go, if you guys do it, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. People say, oh, Jonah was just a tale, but the Lord Jesus mentioned Jonah, so we take Jonah as being true. But in Matthew 12, 38, it says, then the chief of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it, but a sign of a prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. This is a hard part here, isn't it? The man of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. God said, you think you're great, but these people from Nineveh repented back in that day. In the future, they don't come back and say, condemn you, because you are a generation with the Lord Jesus here, and you're not listening to the Lord Jesus. So therefore, you're more guilty and got more guilty than the people in Nineveh, because they repented at that time. A greater than Jonah's here, isn't that? And that's mentioned in Luke 2. It's brought up again. Strange, isn't it? We are Gentiles. We go to church. We set the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We're part of the family. What grace. Nineveh was a gigantic city. I mean, they said walls are anywhere from 40 to 100 feet tall, wide enough for free chariots to ride around it. Was undefeatable by man. Of course, we go forward to Nahum. And there's two rivers going by that city. And the Lord caused one river to take up the sand, knock down the walls, and that's how they get invaded, was because God took them out to open up the walls so that they could be defeated. They said there was enough food inside that could be raised farms that it could feed everybody in there, or the animals too. Major city. That would vote with God, just like walls of Jericho that came down. These walls came down too. But like I said, not by men's hand. As far as history records it, it was brought down, they say, by a great flood, but we know God controls storms and controls it all. Just some thoughts on that part. And do you think Jonah is happy? These people that had hurt his people, people that enslaved his people, attacked his people, and he had given them God's message to them. Sorry. And they had repented. And it says they repented, so, I mean, if they're doing better than the people of Israel in Jesus' day, so they must be going to heaven. They must be. I mean, they repented in sackcloth. They turned to God. Just like Gentiles today repent. We are Gentiles. Anybody that's not Jewish is a Gentile. But even Jews can repent too, turn to God and get saved. But God, we have a lesson of Jonah going on and getting angry. There he had ran from God, gave the message. Now he's mad at God again because people repented. And then get to a point where he wanted to die again. Maybe we'll do that later, but today we'll just mention over. Who else wanted to die because of what we did? What? Jonah wanted to die, right? He didn't want to do this. How about Moses? Did he want to die? And then Jeremiah, then Elijah. We think things are bad in our lives, but these are major prophets talking to God daily. We talk to God through our Holy Spirit within us, but they really prayed and did miracles and different things. And we think we get so discouraged we can't do anything, and God's still waiting for us to call him about, like for Jonah and the whale. It took 3 days, right? 3 nights and sliding around in the belly before you call back upon God. So there's no point where God gives up on us. We think we've gone too far. It's better not to mess up to begin with, but you know, if you're like me, we do mess up daily. Things happen. But thankfully, there's a God that loves us, a God who is gracious. And God who is still waiting for that last one to turn to him before he comes again for us. Isn't it nice? We had our way, we'd be in heaven already, but God says, not yet. Somebody else needs to know who you are, and I can use you to lead somebody else to the Lord. And you'll have eternity with me. And this time on earth, yeah, it seems like a million years on this earth, but yeah, it's a short time. A million years will be up with him in heaven. But we're thankful to have a God, and we're thankful that he writes down that we have his word to study and learn from. And to learn the lessons that no matter how bad we are, there's also maybe worse. But no matter how bad we are, even if we're the worst, God still loves us and has grace for us. So if people are not saved, God is waiting for you. If you are saved and rebelling, God is still waiting for you too. And he doesn't give up on us. Isn't that the way families are supposed to be too? We have children. Sometimes they don't do what we want them to do. But our children should know that no matter what they do, we're there for them. We're there to help them. As God loves us, do we love our own children that way? And some of our children think, oh no, I can never go back home again. Our doors are always open, right? Some of our children hit rock bottom before they call out for help. Then some children don't hit rock bottom, they do great, and they still think they don't need us. But we're here for them. We always wait for our own children. And that's how God does for us. No matter what we do, He still cares for us, loves us, and He won't let us out of His hands. Once we're saved, we're forever there. And those that are not part of God's family, we need to know that. That God loves you and will do anything for you. But especially take you home to be with Him if needed. This world is a short time, and it's easy to fall in love with and get caught up with all the snares. But just remember, it's just a short time. Just wish and pray that people would turn to Him. And sometimes it takes a few days, and sometimes it takes 80 years before somebody gets saved, or even 90, to turn to Him. But that door is always open for everybody to come to the Lord Jesus. And that door is always open for us to be back in fellowship with Him, no matter what goes on in our lives. So let's close in prayer then. Yeah, Henry, can you shut down?